This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, August the 29th, 2008.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Soybean processors are closing in on the bottom of the bin. Hurricane Gustav is closing in on the Gulf Coast, and wheat futures can't even get close to converging. We'll try to find out what it all means today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Greg Wagner of Ag Resource Company out of Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists today are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, and Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. More than a couple of times this week, we've heard analysts refer to what's happening in Chicago as consolidation in the corn and the soybean pits. Are they right? And if so, in what direction? Paul Cooley, would you expect the break to go from here, up or down?
Well, number one, we are seeing a complete change in some of the market makeup, and that is maybe a shock, and the total market liquidation and financial change that's taking place in the commodity world is a definite shock. I think what I'm seeing is that with the percent of normal rainfall that we're looking at and some of the reports we are getting, I do think that we are going to see ultimately a sizable drop from the USDA's earlier production report in August. And I think that that is going to basically steal the show. Whether it'll show up on the September report is being talked about and basically played down by Informa and Ag Resources. But I sense that we could see 2 to 3 bushels down in corn, and I think something in a half a bushel to a bushel down in soybeans at some point in time.
So consolidation or not, you would be friendly to the marketplace?
I think I would.
Okay. Wayne Nelson?
Well, I've been looking for a dip to buy, and yes, I do think it's consolidation, Todd. We're sort of in a trading range until we get some assurances of what this crop looks like, whether it's the estimates from FC Stone and Informa this week, whether it's the actual combines rolling to show us what we actually have. There's a great difference of what people think this crop's going to be. I tend to agree with Paul, and I think we're going to see a little shorter crop than what the government expected in the last time. But are we already trading 1 or 2 bushels down already as we look at things?
Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management.
This is going to be scary, Todd. I think we all agree right now. I think probably the biggest thing right now is row crops. Row crops look like they may want to try after this holiday weekend to try and drag wheat along to the upside. Wheat and the dollar have really been causing a lot of problems with potential longs stepping in, longs that have some conviction, not real weak ones that we've seen here the last couple weeks. The other thing that's improved dramatically, I would think, is the outside financial markets, like the banking markets. That sector's healthier, and we got some good economic data this week that I think will probably translate into the markets here in the next couple weeks or so. But the big question in my mind is a lot of people in Chicago say, do we want to wait for the combines to roll before we really buy earnestly? I think we will go up after the report, but we may drag it out a little bit until we start to see some early corn yields returned.
Paul, Mike calls it scary. That usually means the farmer's caught in some form. Is he caught?
Yeah, Todd, I think so. I think that the farmer has sold a lot of grain early when he thought was a wonderful price for the year. And he wished he hadn't sold quite as much looking out his back door and looking at the crop he has. What do you think, Paul?
Oh, I think Mike hit the nail on the head. I don't think Mike's caught. I think he's in focus, Todd.
I didn't say Mike was caught.
I thought I heard that, but I know you guys are funny with words sometimes. But no, I think that as far as the farmer has sold too much stuff, and I think that the market is telling him to go on and plant a lot of corn and soybeans and wheat next year, and he doesn't realize what the real demand is out there. And unfortunately, the marketplace isn't going to give him that kind of a signal until probably sometime between November and March of this coming, later in the season.
And Mike, any comment?
Well, it's always good to keep your humility, because when the professor agrees with you, I might just buy a lot of corn next week when Dr. Cooley agrees with me. I'm excited about next week.
Well, you know? I want to share this thought with you, too. When it's time to buy, you don't want to.
That's right.
Well, I think that probably gets us back to the question, is the farmer caught? And being caught, it means he doesn't really know what to do at this point as he's waiting out. And does that mean just to stay on the sideline, in your opinion?
Well, in a way, I think that he probably has sold enough, and I think it's time for the market to do a couple things, a function. You know, we do know the basis levels in September improve in corn and soybeans. We also know that, this idea of things getting cheaper here, I think that's slowed down a little bit, and I think that we're looking at, subpar moisture patterns, and that's also giving him some credibility to be a tight holder in here. And I think that really we are going to see a different farmer. I think he is going to be a strong holder into the fall and early next year.
One of the reasons I suspect, Wayne, that many farmers will be holders or strong holders, and I suppose Paul thinks this too, is that it's awfully dry and remains fairly dry across a large portion of the Midwest, despite some of the rainfall we've had in the last few days this week.
Well, Iowa and parts of Illinois got some nice rains, and it should finish off their beans nicely. But when we look at a percentage of all the crops and where it was really dry, and as Paul's pointed out three or four times here now, that we're looking at major deficits as far as average rainfall for the last half of July and the month of August. And that's when we'd like to have a little rain to fill those bean pods and get those beans in good. Now, we know there's fields and there's going to be some good fields, but there's ponds all over the Midwest that are going to come out of the yield. And there's also going to be dryness that's going to cut back on some of the yields. So a lot of skepticism as to what the yields are going to be when the combines really roll.
Better talk about the crop production reports for September that are coming out. And we'll start with you, Mike Zuzulo. You've been on the low end all season long. You're going to stay there?
Yes, we are. And Chuck is not going to have to eat a styrofoam cup in Tuscola next year. I feel confident about that. No, we're going to probably be right around an 11.6 billion bushel crop in our estimates with the news wires. And I don't know how low we'll take the beans down yet, Todd. I'm going to give it another week or two before we make an assessment on that and pull our farmers maybe at the end of next week and see what kind of losses they've lost. But early returns from anecdotal evidence from the guys in Ohio, Indiana, and eastern Illinois are they're saying 30% losses. Some of the Iowa State data that has been released this week that was done a couple years ago, if you're in your second to fourth week of pod fill and you have four more days of dryness, you can be up to 36-40% losses in overall yield. So, yeah, I mean, I think it looks like we're going to be lower, but I just wonder if the USDA is really going to chop it that much in September for soybeans, because they sure pulled a weird one on corn this past month.
Your thoughts on crop production? I know we've talked about it once already.
My hunch is that we should be somewhere in that 2-3 bushel area, but and the beans, I think, probably a half a bushel, so to speak. The general impression here is that I do think that it's a late crop, and a lot of areas need moisture, and we are seeing some at least conversation of some surveys and yield reports from elevators that indicate that the crop is smaller than what the USDA said it was.
Tuesday of this week, we talked with Iowa State climatologist Elwin Taylor. He still thinks that Iowa's crop is going to be a big one, and that if it gets a slow, long grow and doesn't get frosted out into the month of September, actually probably the month of October, that's the USDA's right. that the numbers were going to come in from Iowa.
Well, the story I heard, Elwin Taylor also said it was a smaller crop, too. So I've heard Elwin say two different things to two different people as far as Iowa is concerned.
We got it on Tuesday, although some of the folks on the network heard it. Some of the folks here on WILL did not.
Todd, I think you added in that we have normal growing conditions 2 weeks longer than usual for him to say that and go along with it. So I think there's the big if in this story. And I think that Iowa's far enough north, and we've got some cold weather coming into Canada this weekend, and they said it might move a little bit south. Now, does that mean frost will be here this weekend and down into Iowa next week? Probably not, but it could be in the next week.
Let's go back to the Pro Farmer Tour a minute. And, you know, when we had customers go out in the cornfields, you know, it's a variable crop. And one of the things that we always heard when these big bin buster crops is it's consistent. You know, the crop is very consistent and uniform. And the other one is that there is a lot of differences in maturity. The color of the crop is very different in certain areas. And also in the soybean areas, that the pod counts are definitely different. The size of the beans are also being talked about. So there is a lot of unknowns in this particular equation. But one of the things we have to say is I think that the government basically overstated their case.
Well, two quick things. You know, when Sherman and Chuck came back, they brought me some soybean plants and corn as gifts, and I thanked them for that.
That's all you got.
That's all I got. But the interesting thing was the corn, you know, it showed just like what we see here in central Illinois and central Indiana, nitrogen leaching. And agronomists on their emails, all they talk about this year is nitrogen leaching. So that's probably something we're going to find when we get in the combines. And on the beans, very short beans in Iowa. 2-3 bean pods, not much more than that. You know, they just don't have them stacked like they have usually. So maybe Taylor's right on the corn, but on the beans, again, it goes back to, will they have enough time to finish out? Without water, it doesn't matter.
Let's take a look at some of the numbers real quickly so that we can get these in. Corn futures this week had a high of 608.75, or low at 563.75 on the weekly trade, down 18.25 cents Friday to Friday for the SEPs at $5.68.25. December corn futures from week to week, 21.5 cents the loss, down 21.5 to $5.85. September beans, 13.64.5 for the high, the low at $13.02. Finished at 13.32, up. Gained up 11 cents from last week in the SEPs. November's at 13.24, we're down 3 cents. And the wheat futures September contract, $8.85, the high, the low at 7.78, a settlement price at 7.79.25, down 86.25 from last week. July at 8.50.5, down 85.25. Tell me, Mike, about convergence. It's really wide in some of the ways and some of the bases across the Midwest for soft red winter wheat.
Yeah, you've got the exact opposite going on in beans, where they can't even get enough beans that some exporters aren't offering sales for September down at the Gulf right now. And wheat's the exact opposite. Evansville, Indiana, running 215, 220 under the September futures. And it's really put the weight on the wheat between the dollar and the fact that the energy markets really couldn't rally this past week. That lack of convergence has really got the trade wondering, what did the CFTC do this past couple weeks?
Well, what do you think they did?
I don't think they did much. They've talked. They've talked and they've talked and they've talked, and they talk about new delivery points. But from my perspective and from the people that we work with up in Chicago, Todd, there was nothing tangible done in terms of market being able to react to it. I think that's a fair assessment.
You agree, Paul?
Well, there's nothing wrong with what Mike said. I also think that once the crop has been bought, so to speak, and in commercial hands, it's the function of the commercial to get the cash and futures together, and we will see, I think, more deliveries as time go on.
We need more delivery points. We need to make it so a farmer can deliver, Todd. It's broke. It's very broke. It can't be glued back together. It needs to be changed and corrected. $2 and $2.50 basis levels during harvest make it impossible for a farmer to hedge effectively, or nobody even has a chance of getting. And we need convergence.
Wayne, I know that you're feeling – that's your feeling on corn, soybeans, and wheat across the board, isn't it?
Yes.
Paul, do we need more places to deliver, and should farmers be able to deliver?
Not necessarily even more as just making it so a farmer can deliver. I called up and said, hey, I've got a customer that would like to deliver, and they said, Well, he really can't. It's impossible for a farmer to just do it. It has to be so he can if he plays the game right.
You know, the neat thing in hogs, Todd, is if the futures is over the cash market, you can hedge it. And you know that at within 3 days, those three have to come together. And that's what's so nice about the hogs and the fact that it is cash settled.
You know, another one, the University of Illinois pointed out the cash settlement philosophy, too. And that was very popular with some people.
All right. Thanks much. And we'll talk with all of you again in just a moment when we talk with Greg Wagner of AgResource Company. He's out of Chicago, Illinois, speaking to livestock. Here's the way those numbers settled for the week. Live cattle, August contract of 102.40, top, bottom at 101.07.5, settlement price at 101.77.5, 7.5 cents. The loss in the August live cattle, the September feeders at 111.15, down 170. And the October lean hogs, a top at 74.20, a bottom at 68.30 for the week, finished up at 68.42.5, down 5.32.5. You're listening to Commodity Week.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The first significant rain in 3 weeks moved into Illinois late this week, ahead of a cold front that began pushing into the Midwest on Wednesday. Rainfall amounts in northwestern Illinois Wednesday night into Thursday morning were generally less than 1/4 inch, with the heaviest rain falling west of the Mississippi River in Iowa. Subsequent amounts in western Illinois were higher. Rainfall for the month so far is well below normal across the state, with a band from the Quad Cities southeast across central Illinois to southeastern Illinois less than 50% of normal for the month. It's hard to believe that much of Illinois was waterlogged only 4 weeks ago. On the positive side, temperatures this week were pleasantly cool and the dew points were uncharacteristically low for this time of year. Average daily temperatures this week range from 6 degrees below normal in northwestern Illinois to just a degree below normal in southern Illinois. High temperatures this week were generally close to and even a little above normal, while low temperatures averaged 5 to 10 degrees below normal. We won't see a lot of change in our weather the first week of September, with temperatures running near normal. High pressure will dominate again, and it appears the next chance of rain will be again next Thursday or Friday as a cold front enters Illinois. The wild card, as far as rain is concerned, is Gustav. Once Gustav makes landfall, it's possible that some of that moisture could get drawn into the Midwest, but at this point, it's too early to say for sure. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week, recorded on Friday, August the 29th, 2008. Our panelists in studio are Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities, Lafayette, Indiana, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Our guest today is Greg Wagner of the AgResource Company out of Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon. Pleasure to join you, gentlemen.
Now, the last time I believe we talked to you, I don't think we've talked to you since you made the switch to AgResource Company. Tell me how you feel at home there.
Very, very well at home. This is top flight, and you've got more information from more sources than you could shake a stick at. So it's really a delight.
And those who aren't familiar with the name will be certainly familiar with your boss's name, right?
Mr. Bossy. Yeah, Dan Bossy, yes. Dan.
And so tell me, if you have that many good contacts, what are they telling you about this marketplace? Start with the corn.
We would, you know, I think we would agree with the panelists. This the idea of coming in with 155 bushel yield in USDA, really, essentially what they took is they've got 6 of 10 states. You get out there and get objective surveys done and got plant populations, record plant populations in 6 out of the 10 survey states, and essentially they took the average year weights of over the past 5 years, I believe, and I don't think it's going to shape up that way this year. And there has been too many, if you look at from the situation of crop development and what people referred to before, excessive moisture, certainly you've got anecdotal evidence of nitrogen leaching, and you look as the whole season progressed, it's very, very difficult to come up with 155 bushel an acre yield. But it's interesting to note that from August to September in the past 2 years, they have increased their average yield for corn, and subsequently, on average, it's gone down to final by 5 bushels an acre as well.
Congratulations, Greg, on your new home. Dan is a real help to WILL, and I know we subscribe to him at the ADM Investors office in Oakland.
Okay,
so
great.
He's a wonderful person, and we listen to him very carefully.
Yeah.
What we hear at these farm shows and ag meetings that the Mr. Farmer says, well, I'm going to cut back corn production, and I'm going to cut back wheat production, and I might increase soybeans a little bit, and I'm scared mm-hmm. about this fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
But the think tank people say we need a conservatively somewhere in that 8 million more acres of corn and soybean
yes.
acres to make things balance.
Yes.
When's the farmer going to wake up? Or I guess the better answer question is when is the marketplace going to wake up and start bidding for this production?
You know, I think it's not a matter – yeah, it's not a question of if it will. It's a question of when, because – many of these arguments were made a couple of years back where you're taking a look at, probably go back to even August of 06, and taking a look at situations saying, you know, you look at these S&D tables, they just don't jive. You gotta buy acres somehow, and how are we going to buy the acres, and why is the price sitting where it's at? A lot of times when you have you're in the midst of it, you don't recognize the fact that ultimately the fundamentals will kick in. I think we've been artificially depressed. There's been a lot of disinvestment because of the drop in crude oil prices and, you know, this whole subprime deal. But the flip side of that is you saw GDP come out this year, and you also look at what the growth rates, world growth rates as far as caloric intake, we're going to have to get acres bought. And given the input costs, you're going to have to be able to get prices up to the point where you're going to buy those acres. We're back into this whole acreage battle again. You know, we conducted a study, so looked at some stuff here. 2008, 2009, this coming year, we had record high prices for corn, soybeans, wheat, all around the world. Obviously, you bought a lot of acreage in wheat. We're looking for those three crops, corn, soybeans and wheat, total production for globally is about 1,698 million metric tons. That's a gain of about 80 million metric tons from the year prior, but the actual ending stock figure collectively for those groups goes up 11 million metric tons, which is minuscule. So clearly whatever we're producing, and the bulk of that, it came with wheat production. So we're still in a situation where, you know, this is the second year of the last eight where we've actually produced more than we consumed. And there's no reason to believe that that's not going to continue. So if you're from a producer's standpoint, I think we're in areas which will ultimately prove to be value.
Yeah, Greg, 7 out of 10 farmers have probably sold more grain than they wish they had at this point in time. They're out there looking, deciding whether to buy calls. What month calls should they buy, and what time period should they start buying them?
You know, if you're looking for real, real specific recommendations, I would say you have to take a look from a standpoint of what's occurred over the past 2 years, and that is we've had contra-seasonal rallies. People have expectations that we have a contra-seasonal rally again. But the difference, I think, is that we're coming from a higher level and a higher volatility level. So rather than go out and strictly, you have to find a strategy specifically that would reduce the total cost of your call option without introducing unnecessary risk. In other words, these people who sold puts, and this has occurred, and I'm sure you guys are familiar with it, people who sold puts to finance the purchase of calls, and this was done with everything from ethanol plants to feeders, that it blows up. So I wouldn't have a specific recommendation as how far out you want to go. Everything is really expensive. You got to take it on a case-by-case basis.
Greg, when you going back to the 09, we've got the acres that need to be bought on the good side for the producer. One of the things that really kind of plagues me right now, do you guys have a good educated guess whether the fund money in 09 is going to be there like it has been the past 4 years, or and just parked on the sidelines, or have we done some damage to the investment funds?
Yeah, that's a very good question, and it's I don't think anybody has an answer to that right now. I would anticipate that once you get a stabilization in the crude oil market, I don't think the global economy is that bad as it is being portrayed, and particularly that China will continue to be a growth engine in this whole scenario. So if you start seeing trending markets, I think you'll see funds reintroduced into the marketplace.
Earlier in our conversation, Greg, you suggested that because the global marketplace had really grown in acreage or hectares across the planet for corn, soybeans, and wheat, and despite this, that the carryout ending mm-hmm. stocks were not were fairly what you called minuscule.
Right.
That was a supportive to the marketplace. I've seen that written down in the opposite direction. And it would seem to make more sense mm-hmm. in the opposite direction, that because it has grown so much that it would be depressive to the marketplace. Mm-hmm. Convince me that you're right, please.
Convince you that I'm right.
Right.
Well, why
are you right?
I would make this observation. And again, it's a simple stated fact that we have increased, obviously, acreage. I mean, the EU took away their cap. They got the 10% of the common agricultural policy. Their European Union set aside. Most of that went into wheat. You had increases in other areas of the world. A lot of that went into wheat. But still, here you have the bottom line, is that if we have, in a sense, have we hit a wall of sorts, in a sense, from a production standpoint? If you could get such extraordinarily high prices and you could increase production and yet your total carryout globally for these three principal crops of corn, soybeans, and wheat goes up by only 11 million metric tons under ideal conditions. We had good weather. You know, this was a blessed growing season for many areas
around most
of the world.
Planet.
And so that, you know, that is, where do you get the increased production from here? Where do you buy more acres? We could get a few more acres out of the United States with CRP, maybe 7 million that would be sustainable for corn and soybean production. You look at China, where is their production going to increase? And there's another situation. You know, if they got 156 million metric ton corn crop, but if you look at their ending stock levels, they're flat. They haven't increased their ending stock levels. So essentially their demand is taking up all that production increase. So it's got to come from yields. It's got to come from, you know, either genetics or fertilizer, et cetera.
Greg, we appreciate you being with us.
Delighted.
Greg Wagner is with Ag Resource Company out of Chicago. Just a short final word from our panelist in studio, Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities.
Have a safe and happy holiday weekend.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
The cash bean basis has tightened up this last week. If you got a few beans left in the bin, take a look at it.
And Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services.
Don't lose your faith in agriculture. It's still a wonderful business.
That is this edition of Commodity Week. Be sure to visit our website. Address is willag.org. That's willag.org. You can listen to Commodity Week and other ag programming anytime you'd like. I'm Todd Gleason.